On America Can We Talk, I talk about election integrity, border security, healthcare freedom, race relations, energy and tax policy, education policy, free speech and assembly, freedom of religion, and all other issues that touch on the God-given right of every American to life, liberty, and the pursuit of their version of happiness. Stay tuned.
Your tolerance, but lecture me. Is there no end to your own hypocrisy? Your God is power, you have no shame. Your only interest is political gain. You hide your eyes and refuse to listen. You play your game.
Coming up next, America Can We Talk with your host, Debbie Georgiatos.
And hello and welcome to America Can We Talk, one of our very special Thursday shows. Every Thursday, I say I love these shows because we have a 1 hour long, more in-depth conversation on a topic that really matters to the future of America, future of freedom. You may recognize this isn't our usual Thursday studio. I had the great opportunity arise to have a very special guest join me, and he is here from England, although he spends half his time in America. So we have three people in studio with us today. I had to do a pre-record a little bit ahead of time, so we have all three in the same place. We have joining us today Jason Cousins. He is the CEO of Glint. You'll hear much more about that. Mike Carter, longtime friend who is also affiliated with Kevin Freeman, whom you know very well. He is the co-founder of National Security Investment Consultant Institute. And finally, State Rep Mark DeRozio. So three people, one show. And what we're going to focus on today is the question about what can freedom-loving people do to prevent having a development of the trend in society to have more government control over your money, which is over your freedom. When I talk about tax issues in the show, I always say, you know, tax issues, tax policy, it's about freedom. It's how much of your money do you have to hold on to, and what circumstances can the government take that away? Well, we had an incident in America, which was back when he who occupies the White House issued an executive order early on his administration. Biden issued an executive order essentially pushing central bank digital currency. And we'll talk more about that later in the show. But what I want at the heart of the show today is talking about the idea there are many, many ways for freedom-loving people around the world, and especially here in this show, focus on America, to hold on to financial freedom through using actually really simple, functional, amazing ideas that are do not require massive new technology. They just have to be understood more broadly. We're talking about the idea of having gold as a, which is obviously valuable asset, but your personally owned gold available to you to be spent. And you're in the same way you write a check or use a credit card against your bank account. It is using, I want to let them tell me the proper term to use, but it's basically the idea of having your gold live in a bank or depository that you can spend, and it is a way that is not contingent on government control. It's your money, your gold, and your bank. And it's a freedom issue that is really kind of come front and center in America today as we are watching more efforts out of the some people to push for government-controlled economy more and more. And this is an issue and a policy and idea that is equally appealing and should be equally appealing to people of either political party or any political persuasion, any economic background from the richest to the poorest, and people who really don't do a lot with their finances, live a very simple life, to those who are involved in many complex financial transactions. The bottom line is there's a freedom way to get at the idea of preserving your control over your money, your capacity to spend your own money. And it is, I'm going to use the term digital gold. I used that once and someone told me that wasn't the right term. So whatever it is, we're going to talk about using gold in that way. So the first person I want to introduce you to in a little more depth is here in studio, Jason Cousins. And he's the individual who founded a company called Glint, G-L-I-N-T, Glint. And he is he's going to tell us more about why he did this, but this was the first idea, at least I'm aware of, the first time someone came up with a business model that had the idea of having your privately owned gold able for you to use to spend using a debit card or credit card. I'm not sure which it is, but in any way, you're spending out of your gold supplies. It's a private company operative here in America and in the UK. So welcome to the show. First, Jason Cousins.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for inviting me on to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And you know, I'm not a financial person. So I'm just going to say, I would love to have you talk about why and what got you going to create this company, Glint. Like, what happened that caused you to do that?
Well, first of all, I'm not a financial person either. I mean, I came from I studied architecture. I got involved in virtual reality the first time it was cool.
Wow.
I pivoted my business, started building e-commerce solutions for a lot of high street retailers. And that was the world that I was in, you know, this world of digital product development. Do you remember the 2008 financial crisis happened?
Yes, I do.
And that was a pretty big shock to everybody. I don't know if everybody really appreciates how close we came to actually coming to the brink of the whole financial system breaking down. A lot of the treasurers and chancellors around the world have explained now that we were hours away from the whole system collapsing. And I was like, I think a lot of people, watching the television, watching the news, and for the first time for me, it was a realization that when you put your money in the bank, it is not a risk-free deposit of funds. You know,
that's a scary sentence. Go ahead.
Yeah. So when you put your money in the bank, you know, it kind of ceases to be yours. It's owed back to you. They lend that money out and there is no money in the bank. Maybe they hold 10%. The rest is all invested. And I just thought, well, why isn't there a way I can save my hard earned money somewhere where it's not put at risk? I'm not interested necessarily personally in the interest rate. But then you start thinking about it, why is there an interest rate? What are they doing? Well, they're lending your money out. That's why you're getting the interest rate, because of that risk. And then, of course, you start thinking about money itself. Why does it depreciate in ways that are outside of my control? Why is my money worth less? And I think it was really shocking to me to realize that the pound, the dollar, all these fiat currencies had lost so much of their purchasing power in my lifetime. And I mean, if I was to ask people, you know, how much do you think the dollar has depreciated in your lifetime? I think people would be shocked. I mean, for me, at the time, it was 85% of its purchasing power has been lost in my lifetime. And now I think since COVID, where they printed 20% of all US dollars in existence, it's now down to losing 90% of its purchasing power. It's become nearly worthless. And I kind of thought, well, why on earth are we doing that? And
I got to jump in and ask you, because I think so people don't get lost here. First of all, fiat currency
yes.
just refers to, it just means like it's dollars or some it's other thing that doesn't have value itself. Correct?
No, I mean, you know, literally fiat currency is printed created out of thin air. Out of nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Ex nihilo, nothing.
Like if I traded my, it's not like barter, you know, it's
no,
it's
no. Just, then of course I learned that gold had backed the dollar, and up until recently, 1971, and we came off the gold standard because we couldn't afford, you know, to carry on being on the gold standard.
Couldn't afford the gold.
And for me, this is the beginning of a realization of starting understanding why the wealth gap as well was had been growing, and you know, if you look at a house in 1970, it cost $14,000. Now, an average house today in the US costs $400,000. So the money that it took to buy a house in 1970 doesn't even cover the down payment on a house today.
Okay, I was gonna follow up. The other thing you were talking about is how the value of money has diminished.
Yes.
At the moment. So that's, you said 85%?
Well, now I think it's nearly 90%.
Okay, that's in America or around the world?
That's in America, that's in the US.
But go back and finish that story about,
yeah, sorry,
in
yeah.
terms of dollars,
yeah.
in terms of gold, if I bought that house in gold,
so
what does that look like?
Yeah, so has the house got any better? Has it bigger on the inside than it was? You know, has it got special, can it fly? No, it isn't that the house has got any better. It's that the dollars to buy it have become worth less.
Yes.
Don't buy it. And actually, if you bought that house with the amount of gold that it took to buy the house in 1970, now buys you two houses.
That is a great analogy.
Just think about that.
Oh my gosh,
the dollars that it took to buy it don't even get you the down payment now. The gold that it took to buy in 1970 now gives you two houses.
So gold retained value is
yes.
a summary of that.
It's in a very recent way. And a lot of people, a lot of young people now have just completely given up on the idea of even owning a home, which is really devastatingly sad. And so, look, The other thing about this is that those closest to the money supply, when money's printed, benefit disproportionately from those further away from it. And this is kind of described by a chap called Cantillon, I think it was the 17th century or something like that. He described this perfectly well. Those closest to the money supply benefit disproportionately from those further away. Who benefits first? The government. They're the ones that can print this money, this on the keyboard. And of course, that allows them to deliver on promises they've given the electorate. And it kind of, for me, kind of, it's a bit like, you know, someone standing in front of a load of children and saying, hey, what do you want? I'll give it to you. Do you want sweeties? I'll get you the sweeties, no problem. And they just print this money, they create loads of debt in order to give the electorate what they think the electorate wants. And how is the US being able to do this and build up this huge amount of debt? Well, it's because the US was the reserve has been the reserve mm-hmm. currency of the world. And that's been great for America. I mean, it's been really wonderful. I mean, they've been able to do a huge amount of things yeah. with that ability to print that money. And they were able to do it because people needed to use dollars to buy oil, to buy other things, to conduct global commerce. But of course, times are changing, and we'll maybe talk about that bit later. But going back to 2008, realizing that banks aren't a risk-free deposit of funds, realizing that money had been depreciating in ways that are outside of my control, and then learning that gold actually had backed our currency until recently, I thought, well, why don't we just re-enable gold as money? I can't wait for the central banks to do this. I'm not going to have any political party. No politician is going to try and pick this ball up and deal with it, or so I thought. And I thought, well, let's create a bottom-up return to our money. Let's enable physical gold, real gold, stored in a vault, insured, to be able to participate in electronic payments. And let's use this emerging digital ecosystem, the internet, etc., to be able to do that.
Okay, I'm just going to quickly summarize and because I want to explore deeper. But so an individual owns gold. They put it in a bank, a depository, and all that you're saying is the bank is going to say this gold is valued today at, let's just say, $100 for ease. And then I've got a credit card used against that. And so if I go buy lunch, that what I'm paying with, it looks to the restaurant like a credit card or debit card. Is it both credit or debit? Or
it's debit. We built a system that doesn't have any credit in it. That's important.
Okay.
And it's outside of the banking system, so it isn't a secure vault. You know, Brink's one of the biggest vaulting companies in the world. We use them.
Okay.
It could be in the Texas Bullion Depository, of course, which is a wonderful innovation that you guys have done here in Texas. And that gold is yours. It's no one else's. Nothing can happen to that gold unless it's instructed through the app, which you can download and register with. And you're issued a debit card. So this is a Glint MasterCard. It's a debit card. And when you use that, when you swipe with your account, at the merchants, a coffee shop. I literally paid for my flights here, my hotels. I paid for Wi-Fi at 35,000 feet in the air. You know, wherever MasterCard's accepted, you can spend your gold. Because money is something that you should be able to save, but also spend. And this gives it amazing utility. Effectively, this puts gold in your wallet. Because I do believe everybody should have some gold in their possession, real physical bars and coins for a rainy day. But what this does is it puts it in your wallet wherever you are in the world. And in addition to that, there is also another way to pay, which actually we haven't enabled in the US yet. It's everywhere else in the world, but we intend to do that soon, where I can just send gold from my account to yours outside of the banking system. Nothing else required, not using MasterCard, not using the bank.
I can send just send physical it to
you.
Gold.
Well, I can send my ownership from me to you.
I'm so thrilled about this. So just again, quick summary. So it's not regular banks, it's a depository of some kind. We have Texas Bullion Depository. Thanks, we'll hear from Mike Carter in a moment and how that got going. But Texas Bullion Depository, you have your gold sitting there and it's a debit card. So all you're doing is diminishing the value of what you hold when you go out and you say, I'm gonna spend a big fancy dinner. The restaurant or wherever gets paid their money, they don't care where it comes from, they get paid. And all that's occurring in your payment is you're diminishing the value of the gold. That's the coolest thing.
It's just another way to pay. It's just another account. And it happens to be physical gold in it. So, of course, over the long run, gold appreciates and retains its value over time, as we've discussed.
Okay,
and just think about payment systems out there. You got Venmo, PayPal, all these other type of systems. The way we exchange money has changed today. What Glint offers is an opportunity to back that up with gold, and now you got a stable store of value that I can spend anywhere I spend MasterCard. And it's an idea that's just catching on across the country. It's become a movement now, and it's exciting to see what's happening.
Oh, it's a movement, and it's just so wonderful. And I know, actually, your colleague and our mutual friend, Kevin Freeman, isn't here, but Kevin, who does the Economic War Room show, he's just a wonderful thinker. He actually had was very involved in getting Texas to create the bullion depository. Isn't this correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, and that was through you, Representative D'Orazio, or?
No, the bullion depository was created under Capriglione.
Oh, that's right,
That happened about 7 years ago.
But let me tell you how that happened, because he was out looking for votes. He knocked on Kevin Freeman's door, my business partner, and said, hey, what do I got to do to earn your vote? And Kevin shared an idea about a depository in Texas with the idea of attaching an ATM or a debit card to it as one of the ways that we can help take on the economic threats that are being waged against America. We heard Jason share in 2008, he realized that there's a lot of vulnerabilities in our economic system. Kevin Freeman is a former Templeton money manager, managed a $2.5 billion fund, is recognized today as one of the world's leading economic warfare experts. He's debriefed all the three-letter agencies, and he was warning them about the attacks on the dollar and what's going to happen. And what do we hear? Oh, that'll never happen. You know,
we
warned
invincible.
About the China threat.
America.
Oh, they're our friends. That'll never happen. He wrote a best-selling book called Secret Weapon that defines all this and what's going on. Then later on wrote another book called Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. And in that book, he lays out specifically this idea of what do we do if the dollar is attacked, if we lose that reserve currency status, the idea of having gold and silver, state-backed constitutional currency, with a bullion depository in each state. You don't have to do it in each state. States can share the depositories if they want to get started earlier on. Then attach that ATM or debit card to it. This has been something that he's been passionate about since he was a little kid. He saw what happened when we went off the gold standard. And just recently, this year, this is an amazing book, if I can show it to your audience here, Pirate Money. Get this book because it's easy to read. You can read 3.5 hours, you're going to understand how it works, why it's constitutional. It's a big idea, and I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, this is getting bipartisan support. People are excited about it because once people, finally, they understand what I can do to make sure that I got a stable store of value with a lot of uncertainty that's happening out there.
Sure is. I think Kevin was on the show when that book first came out, Pirate Money, and actually it's the title ties to the substance. It's very, very clever, and I love it. And, you know, I meant to say something in the beginning, which I think you could, everything we're talking about is great ideas, but people say, well, why would we have to bother doing this? I mean, you know, this was the reason to make the effort to have legislatures enable it, to make the effort to get a gold depository set up or even a sharing arrangement. And part of it is, you know, I make reference frequently to the China's problem, Chinese credit score system, where essentially the government's aware of everything you do and how you spend and where your money, and so that, you know, you're punished if you didn't pay your parking ticket on time, your jaywalk too many times. There's a notion of government watching you and controlling you, and that credit score system thing got talked a lot during COVID because it was about, oh, you didn't get the whatever you're supposed to get and you get punished. The notion of ever increasing government control over your life. People think, well, that's China and they're communists, we're America. Oh no, that mentality of thinking the government's job is to regulate you and control you and follow you is very real.
Well, before the show, you mentioned you're from New York. You don't need to look at China. Look to New York when we had a mayor who said, hey, you can't have a 32-ounce pop anymore. It's not good for you.
Yeah.
We've heard the Fed even say, as they start to look at central bank digital currencies, and they call them units, not even dollars, but they like this because it's a way to be able to control people. Like if you're buying too much, you've had one cup of coffee, you shouldn't be able to buy that second cup of coffee. Or if I need to stimulate the economy, we can put money into people's accounts or units into people's accounts, but if they don't spend it, we can take it out. or we can control how that's done. And they're getting excited about this idea.
Oh, in America, yeah. You're talking about in America, the Fed here, oh yeah, the idea of controlling people, there are some people, for whatever reason, it is just kind of their mission in life. And then you're saying they could keep track of how many Reese's cups they bought. That would be really bad.
Well, okay, let me give you a real life example of why the gold currency is a great idea. It's physical. In the depository, the amount of money and the amount of gold has to equal the amount of money within the depository. If on Monday morning at 9 o'clock somebody wanted to go to the depository, or everybody wanted to go and withdraw all their gold at one time, the gold would be there for them to take. So it's 100% reserve. Now this really doesn't come to mind until you go to the bank, and it actually happened to me. I walked to the bank one morning to go ahead and make a deposit because I had payroll due for my company the next day. And there was a guard out front that wouldn't let me in to make a deposit, wouldn't let me go through the drive-through. And you can't exchange money, and your heart hits the floor. That's why I like this, because you have control of your money. Nobody else has control of your money. And if you want to exchange gold for gold, you can do it. If you do the grocery store, you can do it. This legislation allows that to happen.
Yeah. I want to jump in that legislation, and I was thinking actually at first, Jason, when you were talking about, the bank, when banks have money, but they don't actually have the entire monetary deposit that you gave. It's a Wonderful Life. Isn't that the story when everyone, the run on the bank, and he's explaining, well, I don't have your money because it's in Joe's house. The whole thing about, the bank doesn't really have all your money, but the value, but you believe they have it because they send you a statement or they tell you you have it. So we had private company Glint, which I know Kevin Freeman got excited about early. He really loved it. Then there's the effort to make this within Texas and all other places in America, have the state legislature, and this is, I want to try to get at what the legislature has to actually do. They had to authorize a gold bullion depository. They did that. So what is it the Texas legislature would have to do to make this a thing that's easy to use for Texans?
Well, this bill, the original bill was House Bill 4903, and then it was perfected in the fourth special session to House Bill 23. And so there's eight things that this bill does. Number one is a mechanism for people to effectively engage in commerce. You can go to the grocery store, you can buy groceries, you can go buy gas, you can go buy clothes at the store. So you can do anything with it, and it's transactional. Two, the technology exists, and Jason has dedicated his life to making this technology exist, and it works. Three, the legislation solves problems, and it allows us to keep our gold and silver in the United States, and we'll be able to keep it in Texas in our depository. Four, it meets the constitutional requirements of Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. Five, it shields us against central bank digital currency. People have access to their money. Six, it's not subject to legislative appropriations. And that's extremely important, because a depository cannot function like a bank. So the depository cannot pay interest, but they do charge you a fee for the storage.
Doesn't pay interest, but no. Gold stays at a stable value.
The value of gold.
Yeah. Understand that.
Yeah. Yes. The value of gold and silver in the depository account must equal to the value of the user's accounts. So if on 9 o'clock on Monday morning, all the depositors went to the depository to withdraw their gold, it would be there.
It would all be there. I'll get the
less,
gold back.
Less fees. And then this legislation also authorizes a fee to cover the cost of the program. But one other thing that we bumped into, and credit card companies charge 2-3% fees.
Yeah.
We, the depository, would get a percentage of that. And why not use that money to pay off all property taxes or to fund other programs?
I'm sorry,
that are needed.
You have to repeat that again. I'm totally listening, but to repeat that last thing of the credit cards,
yeah,
charge a fee.
Credit cards charge a fee anywhere from 2-3% to the vendors, to the merchants.
Yeah.
Now, part of that fee, anytime they would use the Glint card or our card or whatever, the state treasury would receive a percentage of that fee. That would go into the general fund. Then that fee could be used to pay for property taxes or any other kind of programs that we have.
Okay. I want to jump back to several things you said to be sure. You mentioned the Constitution, and I meant to say that in the beginning and have it printed out, but I didn't. But the United States Constitution prohibits states from having their own currency. We can't have the Texas, you know, cactus dollar and the OCA. I mean, you know, but it permits states to have, and that's a really important legal hurdle. I think people might instantly have that reaction. Well, is that even allowed? It is allowed because the Constitution contemplates that.
That's correct, and you would be able to speak to that really well.
Yeah, well, I think that's the aha moment that we see as we're talking to Americans across the country. First of all, they don't understand that our founders put this in the Constitution for such a time as this. It's in Article 1, Section 10. States can have their own legal tender as long as it's backed by gold and silver. Our founders hated paper money. They hated fiat currency. And they left a hidden secret in the Constitution. If we go read it, it's right there, as plain as can be, that they're allowed to do this. Once people realize that it's constitutional, then like, yeah, but how would you execute it? I mean, politicians like, well, this would be hard to do. No, we've got technology today, thanks to Glint and the work Jason has done here, where this can be plug and play. It already works. We're showing how we're buying. If we have time for lunch afterwards, we'll go buy your meal in gold, your lunch in gold. We're spending it everywhere. We're with a legislator in the state, a treasurer actually, where we took him out and showed him how this thing worked. And he went from, I don't understand how I do it, to, we've got to lead. We've got to be number one on this thing. This is the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so that technology is there. That's the next thing that once people see it. And now that's why you're starting to see not just Texas, not the great work that Representative DeRozio has done here. He started this, but now it's become a movement. And now we've got 25 states that have contacted us, that are talking about this, drafting legislation. If you go to transactionalgold.com, you can see what's happening across the country, states that are actively involved, where this is going. And we've been on a road show the last 3 weeks. We've been in, I think, 7 or 8 states in the last 3 weeks, meeting with legislators, meeting with treasurers, testifying in hearings. And this is something that's happening now. Now, do we see every state making it happen this year? Probably not. But do we see 1 or 2, maybe 3? And once those happen, you're going to see hit all across the country.
Absolutely. And I do want to talk about, I've printed out several things I know that relate to all the efforts you're making to get it. And I want to go back to Texas for just a second, because this seems like an issue Texas would love to lead on. Why don't we be the star of the show? We be the ones. So you, I know, and Representative DeRozio, I know you, I know Kevin Freeman testified, I'm sure others did. You got this moving along. What did you encounter in the legislature? Why wouldn't people get on board?
Well, actually, I had a lot of support for this bill. For a freshman, I had like 30 or 40 different Democrats and Republicans co-author the bill.
Oh, that's great.
I had 4 joint authors on the bill, and we made a lot of progress with it. Then we worked with the State Affairs Committee, and the State Affairs is the most difficult committee to get something like this out of.
Yeah.
The chairman liked it, and he did a great job. He got it out of committee to calendars, and then from calendars it went to the floor. We were 20 bills shy from being heard on the floor. If it would have made it to the floor, we had enough support for this bill to pass.
In the House. Okay, what's your sense about the Senate?
I think the Senate was waiting for it to come through the House. They didn't push it as hard as I thought they would do it. But I think right now we would be able to get the support to get it through the Senate.
Yeah. You know, it just seems like one of the things, if people understand it, then they would be calling their reps and their senators saying, come on, what are you waiting for? Well, and it's one of those things. Go ahead.
One of the things that the Democrats and the Republicans understand is gold and silver is made available to the everyday person on the street. In the United States, the Silicon Valley Bank was the second largest bank failure in the history of the United States. People don't realize that. The number one Google search in 2023 was, how do I purchase gold and silver? So this allows the everyday folk on the street to be able to buy insurance against inflation. They says, well, is gold and silver an investment? I tell them, no. Gold and silver is not an investment. Gold and silver is insurance. And it can withstood the test of time for over 6,000 years.
Okay. What is the answer to the argument? Go ahead, you want to say something?
Yeah, I think one of the other questions people have been asking is, well, hang on a second, if Glint is already doing this, and Texas, we have, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of registered users, 68% of them are in the US, many of them will be in Texas. Why is it the state needs to get involved? Well, of course, one of the frictions you have of using gold and silver as money, even with Glint, is that there's capital gains tax charge, and there's a federal level certainly, and we provide a system in the app, which means you can generate your capital gains tax report at the end of the year to you know, so you can pay that tax. I always say to people, if you're fortunate enough to have a capital gain, yeah, which you do have more than often enough, you have to pay some tax. But it means that it's really the government's treating it as a commodity. It's a little bit of too much friction for it to be used as real currency. And of course, the IRS here in the United States classify gold bars and coins as collectibles because they say, well, you know, it's you're not exactly using it to pay for your Starbucks, your coffee or anything. We would say, yes, you can. But also, under the rules, for something to be currency, it needs to be both legal tender and it needs to be transactional. Now, people within the cryptocurrency movement, we're going to talk about central bank and digital currencies in a minute, but when CBDCs were first mooted, they got very excited because they thought maybe crypto could be used as currency.
Yes.
But the IRS have even come out recently and clarified this with an opinion to say that actually for something to be currency, it needs to be both legal tender and it needs to be transactional. Now, Glint has made it transactional and lots of people using it. But we, a private company, cannot say that it's legal tender. The only people that can say that are the government or the state. And you have a wonderful system here in the United States where the states can keep the feds in check and vice versa. And you have the opportunity under the Constitution to make it legal tender. At that point, in a lot of people's opinion, the capital gains tax should fall away. Gold would then be equal in terms of its utility against the dollar, obviously with its ability to be to maintain its purchasing power over time. And then on top of that, the fact that the state has declared this means that it's protecting the rights of its citizens to do so as well, no matter what the trend in Washington is.
That's correct, and we have an attorney general that's ready to defend it. We fully expect once this passes and enacted, signed into law, that there'll be a court challenge, but we think that it'll withhold any.
You have an attorney general on board to defend the constitutionality of this, or to?
Oh, Ken Paxton.
I know. Yes. I mean, he's on board to defend this whole idea, you're saying?
Yeah, we presented it to his staff, and we're going to be going back and forth a little bit to show him the constitutionality of it, so we don't think there's going to be a problem.
Okay. I do want to talk about the app, and I want to talk about the progress and bringing it to the states, but I want to hit one other question, because people, when they think of gold, they think the average Joe, you know, medium income or less person, this doesn't really help them. I mean, how someone who's, you've got to be really rich for this to matter to you. And I believe that's not correct, but what is the answer to that? Anyone can.
Could just jump on it. Let me just share a story. I was in DC, took an Uber ride, and I said, hey, maybe next time I can pay you in gold. And he said, what do you mean? And so I started explaining it to him. And he's like, this is the best idea I've ever heard. By the time we got to the airport, he was like, you're not getting out of my cab until you show me how this app works and where it is and what I can do now. And everybody needs to hear about this. If people understand this and see it, they're all going to be in favor of it. And we get that across the board. What this has done is it's liberated gold. What's happened to gold so far is it's bought, it's hidden under a bed or in a closet in case I have an emergency, but it's not spendable. And what we can do now is, well, you can buy as little as $5 on that.
One cent
on the app of gold. Now, I don't care if I'm a waitress and working for tips, I can start to have a gold account. And what's beautiful about this is there's an autosave program, and there's other apps out there that are probably besides Glint, this is the best one we've seen so far that's making this thing work out there. But within these apps, the ability to potentially have an autosave to where you can save $100 a month. Well, let's say I saved $1,000 in gold, but my kids need new tennis shoes or some car broke down, I can't get to work. All of a sudden that gold is now transactional. I'm saving stable store value, don't have taxes on it, but if I need to spend it, I can spend it. And it's not like, well, how am I gonna cash out this gold, this little bit of gold I have to pay for what I need right now? This is where it's gonna help every American out there.
And that analogy with the taxi is worldwide. So I was in London. I got in a black cab. You might have seen those black cabs we have in London. The taxi drivers are great. They're always talking to you. I get in. I say, can you take me to this hotel, please? But first, I need to go home to pick up my dinner suit. He goes, dinner suit? So what are you doing at the hotel? He asks me. I said, well, I'm going to a FinTech Awards dinner. He says, FinTech? What's FinTech then? I said, well, you know, you've heard of these maybe Challenger Bank apps, these things that, you know, etc. He goes, oh, yeah, I get it. He says, I've got one for you. He says, Glint. I said, really? He goes, yeah, and he tells me all about it. And I think if you go back to, and so ordinary people want this, as you said, more. They understand it. But if you go back to the housing analogy, if you want to save up to buy a house, you know, what you're going to need a down payment of $40,000 today. Well, what do you do? If maybe you say, I'm going to start saving up. I'm going to try and find $350 a month over 10 years, and I'm going to save my $40,000. So you save those dollars, and then guess what happens? In 10 years' time, the house doesn't cost $400,000. Now it costs $600,000. Mm-hmm. And now they want $60,000. Yeah. And you've just been swimming against the tide, saving your money. And you get there, and it's still not enough. If you save the same amount in gold every month, your gold, your deposit would be worth $60,000.
There's a great website, by the way, on this, pricedingold.com, which will give you an idea of, you know, how gold holds its value, stable store money, and what it cost in 1970 versus what it costs today. And that really illustrates why this empowers every American out there, why this has become a bipartisan bill. You did a fabulous job getting people on both Democrat and Republican sides mm-hmm. to say, we want to see this thing happen.
So Representative DeRosio, did this bill that you were talking about, you tried to push in Texas, did it make it to a special session also, or did it not?
No, we filed it in a special session, even though it was not on the call. And hopefully, we're going to talk to the governor to see if he could pick it up. That way, it would be ready to go. So we filed it in each, the second, the third, and the fourth yeah. special session. Okay. And it brought attention to it. And now it's before the speaker to do a study, an interim study on the bill.
Is Governor Abbott behind this? Do you know?
He knows of it.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't think he understands it yet.
He does not understand it.
So okay. we need to get in front of the governor on this one, and we start to see other states moving this forward. I mean, to give you an idea of just the momentum that's happening, Brinks is seeing this, and they're looking at vaults that they have and saying, okay, we've got four metal vaults, gold vaults, but we have all these cash vaults. Why don't we look at what we can do to start making sure that we can make those cash vaults gold vaults as well? So now you have bullion depositories across the country. Again, the right tools are in place for this to happen. Now is the time.
All the regulations for this, in terms of banking and money transmitter service regulations, already exist. And as I keep saying, so this is, Glint is already running. So all it needs to do is this legislation pass, and it can be up and running very, very quickly. And it's just another way to pay and pay, hopefully be able to pay your taxes soon.
But
as well.
Texas should lead on this.
Yes.
Texas is the no-brainer. We've got we're the only state that has a bullion depository bill. We were down there with some other state legislators, and I held a 27-pound bar of gold that was worth $800,000. We pulled it out of a drawer that belonged to somebody. I asked if I could take it as a sample, and they said no. But yeah. What do you do with it? It's sitting in a drawer. If I can attach that Glint card, that debit card or the ATM to it, it's transactional. It's huge. Texas has the eighth largest economy in the world. We've got the bullion depository. We've got the right things to where we can lead the country. And the state that does it first, and because I live here, I'd love to see Texas be first, but I will tell you there's other states that might be a little bit smaller, yeah. a little more nimble, that might beat them to it. But whoever does this first or is one of the leaders in it will be the gold capital of the world. Money goes where it's treated best. You're going to see other countries putting money into Texas. You're going to see a whole economic infrastructure that builds from this. And to miss out on that opportunity because we haven't gotten to the right people yet or the right access will be a shame. And I believe it's going to happen in Texas. It might happen in Florida first. Not sure. Either one of those two states are big states. If one of those goes, the rest go easily. Or it might happen in Oklahoma or Kansas or somewhere
yeah.
else. But it will happen.
I need to go back to pragmatics for a second. As I'm listening to all this and thinking someone listening who's never heard this idea before. So say I was wanted to become a Glint customer. So how does it, if I go to you and say, I know you have an app. I'm actually quick, tell her, what is your app called?
Yeah, it's called Glint or Glint Pay. You can download it from your favorite app store, whether it's the Android one or the iPhone app store. You download the app onto your phone and you have to register. So you have to put in your details. We have to know who you are. That's part of the state and federal regulations say we need to know who you are. So you need to give us that information. We then the system automatically cross-references that across multiple different databases, and we get, you know, the system, I think in 90% of the cases, approves you. 10% of the cases, you might have to send in some information like your driving license mm-hmm. or something like that. Once you're approved, you can buy some gold straight away. I mean, you know, I think in the onboarding process, I think the minimum is $10 or something like that. Once you've bought that gold, you are saving that gold. It's real physical gold. It's to the what's called the LBMA international standard. It's physical. It cannot be encumbered in any way. It's sat in the vault, really boring, doing nothing. The difference is, of course, is that I can now, if I want to, send gold to other people. As I said, that's currently not switched on in the US until we get some additional work with the states or get some additional regulations on that.
I gotta jump in. So if you signed up for that and you're saying, so I say I want to do that. I sign up for the app and you approve me. I say $100. You're saying you all facilitate I don't have to go to some place and buy gold, correct?
No.
You're doing it all.
You can buy that gold in the app, and we have a liquidity provider with gold in the vault already. As soon as you buy that, you bought that gold. That's your gold in the vault, insured by Lloyd's of London, secure.
So somebody, the cab driver could buy $10 worth of gold, or waitress, and $10 worth of gold is, you know, all that really happens is whatever the amount they bought for $10, it can increase in value.
Yes.
And doing nothing. Okay.
So I've had some of my clients say to me, I love Glint. You know, I've been using it to buy things. And guess what? Over the last 6 months, in dollar terms, it's worth the same as it was when I bought it 6 months ago, even though I've been spending it. Because, of course, over that time, it's been going up in value. Now, gold doesn't always go up in value. Or should I say, the confidence in the US dollar goes up and down. Sometimes it goes up, which means gold is worth less in US dollar terms. But generally, over the long term, it's going up in value. We believe in choice as well. And we believe, you know, we're doing this as well to support people and the US dollar as well. We have a US dollar wallet in there too. So you can decide to change your card to work with the dollars you've got in your account, as well as the gold that you've got in your account.
So someone open an account could just transfer money from wherever there it is right now into your account.
Yes.
So you got either money or gold.
Something quick here too, in terms of why this is so important. 4 in 10 people own some type of gold right now, if you look at kind of the gold industry stats out there, but there's 6 that aren't. And the top reason for that is I can't afford to own gold. All of a sudden that barrier's been taken away. The second one is, I don't know if I buy the gold, if I'm gonna be able to trust that the gold is real. How do I know if it's pure? I could get scammed. All of a sudden, now I got a state-based gold, silver legal tender. I know that it's there. And then the third one is, but where do I store it so that it's safe? Now we have a bullion depository backed by Lloyd's of London, backed by the estates. This handles every objection. This is what makes this such a revolutionary, disruptive, big idea for everyone.
It does. And I have to tell you, this whole idea of owning gold, that I think in a lot of people's minds, you're thinking, oh, I've got to go someplace to buy it. They don't even know what to do, but mm-hmm. you're describing how to do that. So in the Texas model and the gold bullion depository, if you have to still have the person who wanted to have gold in that depository would have to physically purchase it, or is it some system set up?
The depository will purchase the gold for you. And that's the beauty of it. When we tour the depository, they have people there that just audit the gold. It's audited about once a week, and the gold that comes in, it's audited, and they can tell whether it's real gold or whether it's a...
So the state would purchase... You're making it so easy. This is incredible.
Mm-hmm. The technology... I mean, right now, there are thousands of people buying gold, selling gold, spending gold, transferring gold to each other. It's used, and this is the reason why it couldn't be done until now. The technology now enables this to happen. We have the scalability of technology, means also it can be done very efficiently and very cheaply.
Okay. Honestly, this is, I kind of been following this issue for a while, and I'm learning so much here because I'm thinking about people's objections to it. So it's not just something to help rich people, is to help everybody. If the system were to go through, you're describing in the legislature, you know, it's like everyone could jump on, or no, I mean, you could jump on or not, but I mean, you're not, this. No one else is hurt by the fact that some people jump in and get gold. And then I lost track of the issue regarding tax. You're saying that once, I'm sorry, would or would not be subject to capital gains?
Well,
We believe there's a very strong argument that it will not be. Kevin's written a kind of a mini white paper on this, but according to the IRS code, you need to be able to buy a stick of gum with it, buy a car with it, pay your taxes with it. All that can be done. It meets all that criteria right now. And in fact, within the UCC for central bank digital currencies, the way they've defined central bank digital currencies, the standards they set for that apply beautifully to what we have with transactional gold and silver. And so we believe the very high likelihood that that's going to happen. That's the part that will be challenged. I don't think we're going to get challenged on constitutionality of transactional gold and silver on a state level. That's very clear. It would be a hard one to do anything. IRS, could they rewrite codes? Potentially.
Yeah.
But the ability to not have to deal with, you know, capital gains. And there's a difference between collectibles. And we would still say people that have gold coins or bullion at home, there's a reason why you might want to hold that. We think that industry is going to grow as well. But you cannot take a gold coin and go buy something at the store for the face value of that, or you're going to take a beating on it, if they'll even take it, right? This is truly functional currency, so this would be treated differently than those rare coins and some of those types of things out there, because it is a legal tender. So.
Okay, so Representative DeRozio, back to the Happy Texas State Legislature. I really think this idea being sold to Democrats and Republicans and by members of the House and Senate, it seems like a no-brainer. It seems like everyone would jump on if they just knew it was simple, your money's safe, it's available and helpful to everybody, and it is secure in the Texas Bullion Depository. So I told you this before the show started. I asked a couple other guests in the show in the last few months who are the Lieutenant Governor and a Senator, and just said, why wouldn't this go through? It just seems so great. And he said they didn't understand it. So I want to go back to that now that we're live. Do you think that's accurate?
I do. I think it's accurate. Anytime you have a new idea that has merit, but it tweaks people's thinking. They're not used to it. And so I spent a lot of time on the floor speaking to each legislator individually. This is what it does. And the one thing that gets their attention is whenever I gave each one the pirate money book, and I said, there's two things you need to remember. Number one, flipping a Monopoly board. Number two, the Wizard of Oz. And so that normally gets their attention. It gets a laugh out of them, and then they say, okay, now what's this about the Wizard of Oz? And so we go back to the book, and we talk about in 1933, and they were talking about the gold and silver standard. Dorothy's slippers were actually silver. Dorothy walked along the yellow brick road, which was the gold. Oz means ounce. The tin man is agriculture. The tin man was industry. The scarecrow was agriculture, and the cowardly lion was courage. And the tornado at the beginning was the depression that we were in at the time. And so that's whenever they were discussing breaking away from the gold standard and it started. So the allegory and the little munchkins there, they were the guys who always get something for nothing from the government. So we got to deal with those little guys. And so then it got their attention. And then I would say, you know, what better avenue can you use to be able to give the everyday guy out on the street, even the poorest of the poor among us, an opportunity to be able to buy something and have value? And whenever inflation happens, it's the poor that get hit the hardest.
Sure,
not the rich.
Absolutely.
And so then we talk about inflation for a little bit, and they say, well, how does it hurt people? We need inflation. Well, under the fiat system that we are, yeah, we do need inflation because that's how we pay off our old debt. However, there's a thing called ratcheting. You know, it's just like a ratcheting on a car. You just kind of ratchet and takes the bolt off. But what happens is whenever you add more inflation and the tax tables remain the same, then it pushes people into a higher tax bracket.
Yeah.
So then they get double whammy. It's their money is less, and then they have to pay more taxes. And so real legal tender, like what we have here, protects people against that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do.
I love that you're going to do that, and I love if our listeners would talk to their state reps and state senators, say, get behind this bill. It would just be, I think once it passed and was in effect, people would say, why didn't we do this a long time ago? It has that feel to it. I did want to ask you, I'm taking notes, I have a bunch of, let's see, we're good on time, we have a solid 10 minutes. I guess I want to go to, before we cover it, you and along with Kevin Freeman and others, Mike Carter, you've been working in states all over the country, and I know you were making allusion to it earlier, but how are we doing? Do you feel like we're going to have a burst and get 25 states at once? Or what's the reason people argue against this?
If there is an argument against it, it's what Representative D'Orazio mentioned, is lack of understanding. Mm-hmm. And the ability for us to get that message out is important, but we're a small team. And this is a movement of people saying, hey, can you come to my state?
Yeah.
And we have legislators calling us up, and we have treasurers calling us up because they've heard about what's in the book here and what's happening in Texas. And they're trying to understand how to put that legislation forward. So what started in Texas is now 25 states. Some of those are going to probably go into study bills to the extent of understanding how to actually make it work, not to the study bill to kill it. Several of them might get this thing done. We were just up in Kansas. We shared mm-hmm. that allegory. They are the yellow brick road. Wouldn't it be great if Heartland America got middle America, got all Americans back on a stable store of value that exists out there? Getting the Bankers Association to understand that, getting some of the special interest or groups out there to understand how this is going to benefit them will be important.
So who's the natural enemy of this idea? The natural enemy in our, or is there one in our society? What business, what entity?
You know, one of the things I've seen, let me just say, this is kind of, it's a fun problem to have, but a frustrating one right now. We were in a state the other day and met with one of the lead speakers of the House. And what I've seen in a couple states right now is senior legislators see this and think, wow, this is a really big idea. It might be a freshman legislator that put it forward because they're the only one bold enough to do it or understood it and broke
goodness.
The path.
Yeah.
And like, hey, you know what, Mark, that was a good idea, but this is going to take a little time. We need to work through the process more. Tell you what, why don't you let me take this on and we'll lead with this next year. Because people are seeing how big, there's politics and everything. I truly believe some politicians are seeing, I'd like to be the one to lead this thing. And, you know, let me stall it here so I can get my team behind this a little more and I can get credit for this thing. That's literally happening. Others just, there's politics of politics. It might be a completely unrelated bill, but they're not going to support this because you're not supporting this. So we're learning all that stuff in the way that
things work. One of the challenges, though, when we were speaking to a state senator just the other day, and his argument was, how am I going to sell it to the Senate? And then he said, well, maybe we ought to let Texas pass their bill first so that we can follow their lead and then use the Texas depository. And so we said, no, you go ahead and file your legislation and make a gold and silver legal tender. And then that paves the way for the rest of the legislation that you're going to need to incorporate it into the transaction.
We're definitely seeing, you know, people saying, well, maybe we need to break this into smaller pieces. Maybe we need to do it over 2 or 3 years. My message would be this. We don't know if we have 2 or 3 years. I mean, we're not about doom and fear. We run a solution action tank at Liberty Hawk Ranch, Economic War Room, and the NSIC Institute. And it's about providing real solutions. We're $34 trillion on debt on our way to $50 trillion. And you see, just look at the news. You can hear the World Economic Forum saying you will own nothing and be happy.
Oh.
You will eat bugs and be happy. We want to have a solution that says, that's fine. You can do what you want to do. I got my Texan card here.
Right.
I'm going to buy my steak.
My
I'm not eating bugs. I'm
right.
going to put gas in my car.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the edge of some geopolitical and economic threats. The BRICS nations have specifically come out and said they are targeting the dollar.
Yes.
And they are organized to do that. And we set ourselves up to be in a weak position, overplaying economic warfare in Russia. Kevin Freeman warned about this in his briefings out there. He's the one that actually taught them what economic warfare is and so forth, but it's been used not effectively. And that's put us in a more dangerous position. But what I will say is, if we get this thing done, the beautiful part about having transactional gold and silver is I think it serves as kind of a safety valve for our economy. If something does happen out there, instead of there being complete panic, we believe in a strong dollar. We believe in having transactional gold and silver, other ways to pay out there. But the ability to not panic and say, well, I'm going to take some of my money and I'm going to put it in gold. Once things settle down, I'm going to go back over here. That will strengthen the dollar. We're already competing against a gold-backed mm-hmm. digital yuan. This will make the dollar stronger. It gives people an option to pay. It will avoid potential panic out there. It's a win-win-win.
I think it also strengthens the banks as well, especially the regional banks, because at the moment there's a tendency that if a rumor spreads on Twitter in one afternoon about, you know, the regional bank demise or something like that, there can be a run on those. And where does that money go? Well, it gets transferred to bigger banks, which are then consolidating all those business accounts. Whereas in this situation, if everybody's got a gold-based currency, they can just flip into that, yeah, and then flip back when things have calmed down.
We've had banks they have want to include this in the app. And so we're seeing bankers, once they understand it, get very excited about this.
I just love that. I want to make sure, I'm going to say one quick thing, several things. I've been writing down names of websites, because I will tell you, I think our listeners, let me urge you, when you finish watching this show, to just rewind and watch it again. Serious, because I think maybe for some people it's very familiar, but for a lot of people it isn't. And any new idea, and especially if people think, you mean I might be putting my money at risk, they may be concerned. This is a brilliant idea, and it's brilliant. It's not coercive. If you don't like it, you don't have to do it. But for people who have the foresight and the willingness to study it and understand it, it's a great idea. There's no downside to anyone of permitting people to essentially make gold and silver legal tender and have it transactional, so you can, you know, spend a touch of your silver or gold at the grocery store or wherever else you are. It's just a great, great idea. The websites I wrote down, but I think I didn't write them all. PricedInGold.com was one.
Yeah.
That helps people tell that quickly, if you would.
Yeah,
again.
PricedInGold.com, which just helps you see what if something was priced in 1970, what it is today in gold versus dollars.
Yes, and the basic point being dollars have diminished in value, gold does not. Okay,
exactly.
And then another one was transactionalgold.com. That lays out this plan. Is this correct?
That has some frequently asked questions about the plan, and it talks about the active states that are moving forward, either drafting legislation, moving through committees, in process right now. So that'll give an idea of kind of a broad picture of what's happening across the country. I'd also encourage people to go to economicwarroom.com. We've got 2 great episodes with Jason. We've been talking about this subject for the last 2 years. We have a lot of information there, and then Pirate Money Book. And then there's one more thing that's really important right now, if we could get that in. There's on the primary ballot coming up. Do you want to talk about this and what's coming up?
Oh, wait, how did I forget that? Yes. Proposition 7.
Proposition 7.
Yes. For all our happy Texas voters on the propositions in the GOP primary ballot, vote yes on all of them except 11. And let's hear what Proposition 7 is all about.
Yeah, Proposition 7, it reads, the Texas legislature should establish authority within the Texas State Comptroller's Office to administer access to gold and silver through the Texas Bullion Depository for use as legal tender. We are using that as cover for all of the representatives who might get pushback from some of their constituents. If we can get the voting over 80% of the Republican primary voters in favor of Proposition 7, we'll use that for cover.
Yeah, and I'm very sorry. That was one of the main things that why I wanted to have you here and talk about that, because propositions on our ballot, primary ballot, they're not making policy, they're not making law, they're a way to message for GOP voters to your representatives, this is what we think, what you want. Proposition 7, which you just read, I won't read it again, but it basically moves this idea along. It tells legislators to please get moving and do this.
It's very simple. It makes gold and silver legal tender. I mean, you just vote yes on that one. We want as much support as possible to make that one more check mark to get this thing moving and done in Texas.
Absolutely. And that is so funny as well. I'm so glad you said that. So Proposition 7, vote yes. And honest to goodness, this, the more people understand it, again, it's not coercive. It's not hurting anybody else. You don't want to. And then actually, please help again your website.
Yeah, and you can actually easily set this up. It only takes a few minutes. Download the Glint app now from your app store. If you want more information, go to glintpay.com and put yourself on your own personal gold standard.
That's a good line. Put yourself on your own personal gold standard. I like that. Okay. And again, it's glintpay.com.
Yes.
And that idea, honestly, I'm sitting here thinking, my husband and I have debated about, you know, gold and such, and we've done a little bit, but we haven't done what we probably should. But that's a really great idea, and that moves people into the world of thinking of gold as transactional.
Yeah. I mean, this is actually for our VIP customers. This is a physical gold card, but I just want you to feel it. That's made of 52 grams of solid gold.
It's
nice.
It's how much?
52 grams. But it's
the weight.
It's the weight. You know, I think it's just, it kind of brings it home.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing. Okay. And I love that Glint does this, has this available for people. And then the legislatures will hopefully come along. So, you know, we're about out of time. You want to do one last quick summary of what you wanted to say? Want to start with Representative DeRosio?
Yes. Well, the legislature, they respond to pressure. And so the more people that vote for this proposition number 7, the more ammunition that that gives us within the legislature to push this thing along so that it will be enacted into law. And it will also educate the public. They never thought of it before. Everybody likes it. I was in a restaurant the other day, and I had to give a speech right there in the restaurant to a bunch of people about the you know, about the Proposition 7 and about the gold standard and legal tender. So we need people to vote, go to the polls, vote yes on Proposition 7.
Okay,
and that
thank
we
you.
Will use to push this thing along.
Love it, love it. Thank you. I know you worked very hard last session, and I heard lots of great things about you, both from Kevin Freeman and Mike Carter. So thank you for
thank
doing
you.
That.
And I would just say, buy this book, read it for yourself, or send it to your legislator. We actually had a treasurer call up the other day and said, what is this about? I'm getting books sent to me. Help me understand what's happening right now.
That's good.
This is how you can start to say, how do I get my state legislators on board? Plus, it's just easy to read, and you're going to have a great time if you go to any social events talking about this. People will say, really? Tell me more about it. It's a fun topic.
Okay, and the expression you are both using, I wrote in the other piece of paper, about you're basically, I mean, to summarize the idea in simple term, you just want to say make gold transactional. Is that, what's the way you want people to say it?
It's making gold and silver legal tender, but it's really about transactional gold and silver as legal tender in your state.
Make gold and silver legal tender. I mean, because
a lot of 11 states right now have transactional gold and silver as legal tender. That doesn't do any good. You got to have the transactional piece. You don't need the bullion depository. You could use in other states temporarily. Some states are looking at moving lots of money into Texas right now as part of a rainy day reserve fund. So those are happening right now.
Okay. Well, having worked with many candidates, you got to boil things down to bullet points. I want to make sure I said one time, and someone said,
well,
that's
once
not
we
very
have
good
this House, once if we get to special session, that's anything related to this, I would say everybody in Texas needs to call up and say, make sure that this House bill, what number?
And the fourth special session, it was House Bill 23.
But so in the new session, we'll get a new number, won't it?
It'll be a new number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at transactionalgold.com.
We will. And they'll be able to contact our office, and we'll have it ready. Or it'll be on the Texas Legislature online.
We'll put it on transactionalgold.com. They're following that. We're going to keep a grid of what's happening by state, so we'll make sure that's posted there as well.
Got it. Okay. Closing.
So Glint believes in a world where everyone has an equal opportunity to prosper. A level playing field. Who wouldn't want to have that? That's why I think you should all get behind this.
I love it.
And they can get Glint Pay now. They don't have to wait for the legal tender. No. There'll be a tax thing, but you got an easy solution if they do have the games.
Start checking it out yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, all three of you, thank you so much. I know that you're traveling. Thank you. I'm so glad you're available today. Thank you all three for coming in.
Thank you.
I learned so much. I am going to myself actually replay this and take notes from what you said, because I think if you're not a financial person, it's just a really new idea. You have to kind of digest it a little bit.
Yeah. So
thank you all three.
Thanks for having us.
Loved having you. Okay, so for our happy listeners, our upcoming Thursday shows, next week we have Professor David Clements, and he is a former New Mexico law professor. He has a new film out, Let My People Go. The gist of it is he's urging election integrity. He's one of the preeminent experts talking about this all around the country. He'll be in studio next week. And the following week, there's a doctor named Dr. Eitan Haim. His last name is H-A-I-M. He was a doctor at the Texas Children's Hospital. A hospital for children in Texas, when the hospital had agreed with our attorney general, they would not engage in gender transition of children. They would not do it, surgeries or other treatments. And he, this doctor, was there realizing they were still doing it. And then the Texas legislature passed a law saying, you know, that we don't do gender transition for children in the state of Texas. This hospital continued doing it. So he became a whistleblower, said this is what they're doing, even though they're saying they're not. And he gave testimony, came forward. And then he had the FBI knock on his front door. The story is unbelievable. So he'll be here in 2 weeks from now. So this is Dr. His First name is Eitan, which I think is Hebrew, Eitan Haim. He'll be here the following week. So I do this show, America Can We Talk, to speak truth about America. It's the only reason I do this show, to speak up and defend this precious country and the foundational freedoms that we all benefit from and are blessed by. My name is Debbie Georgiadis. This is America Can We Talk. You can find our show at AmericaCanWeTalk.org. I do the show to speak truth about America because America matters. And I will talk to you next time.
Can We Talk? Truth about America.